It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A bill to decriminalize possession of a small amount of marijuana received preliminary approval in Pittsburgh City Council earlier this week. It was the subject of a packed public hearing Tuesday. 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed brings us some of the voices of people whose lives and communities would be affected by the change.
Every seat in the gallery of council chambers was filled during Tuesday's hearing with people like cancer patient Mark Knezovich.
I risk arrest, and my friends risk arrest every time we try and get my medicine. And I just want to say that I need it, and it really helps. And I hate to get arrested for it. Thank you.
Students, grandparents, veterans, activists, and young professionals were among those who spoke in favor of the bill. Many of them shared deeply personal stories, pleading with tears in their eyes for council to decriminalize the possession of cannabis. Nina Mitchell lives in Beachview. Her 11-year-old granddaughter has Dravet syndrome, a rare and severe form of epilepsy that causes hundreds of seizures a day.
A year ago tomorrow, she took her first steps out of a wheelchair after 10 years of not being able to move. She took her first steps after a few drops of oil and also started to talk. She's been nonverbal her whole life. I'm sorry, I'm so upset, but this is her life at stake here. When I came home, I faced calls from the DEA, Child Youth Services, and they want to take the children away from us that we are fighting to save. And we go to Harrisburg as often as we can. I'm sorry. But I just like to tell you that we're not criminals. We're not criminals, and neither are any of these people back here.
Thank you, Nina.
Julia Johnson from East Liberty says when she was 15, she and some friends got caught by undercover police officers right as they were about to smoke. She says the officers interrogated them for 20 minutes.
They said if we handed over the drugs, they would just throw it away and we would be free to go. But if they searched us and found something, then we would be in big trouble. They even threatened to call for female officers to come search us girls. Eventually, I gave in and handed over the bag of weed, feeling terrified and like I had no choice. They took down my information and let us go. I got a letter in the mail ordering me to appear before a magistrate judge for summary offense charges of disorderly conduct.
Johnson says she was ordered to complete 30 hours of community service, and the charge never went on her permanent record, but it still made a permanent impact.
I remember feeling angry. I lost trust in police officers after that because I realized that they had lied to, harassed, and bullied a group of 15-year-old kids who didn't know their rights into incriminating themselves. And I was resentful of the fact that if the judge had instead placed the offense on my criminal record, I would have lost out on scholarship opportunities and job offers for using a plant that caused no harm to myself or others.
Iyodeji Young lives in Homewood and works as a site supervisor for youth places. He says marijuana isn't a gateway to other drugs. For young African American men, it's a gateway to police harassment and violence.
If a young black male gets jumped out on and has a bag of weed, first when he sees the police, he's nervous. So automatically he thinks it's going to be a confrontation. Now when the police jump out on him, even if he has a bag of weed on him, what is he probably going to do? Take off running. And when the police catch him after taking off running with that little bag of weed on him, he's not going to get arrested soft. You can guarantee that. That leads to him being arrested hard and those extra problems that come along with that. Police abuse, police brutality, and all of those things. Also, I just commend everybody in here for even admitting that they smoke marijuana, because black males such as myself can't even admit that in public without a stigma being on it. So, thank you.
To be clear, the bill doesn't mean cannabis is legal in Pittsburgh. Possession can still garner a fine of $25, $100 for smoking it in public. But it does mean possession of fewer than 30 grams would no longer land someone in jail or give them a criminal record. I'm Liz Reed, 90.5 WESA News.
And council will take a final vote on the bill next week. I'm joined now by phone by Patrick Nightingale. He's executive director of the Pittsburgh chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Patrick Nightingale, thanks for joining us.
Certainly. Thank you for having me on this afternoon. It's a pleasure to be able to discuss this subject with, you know, some success under our belt for a change.
Very well. And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. What do you think of the idea of decriminalizing possession of small amounts of marijuana? Should City Council give final approval to the bill next week? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Patrick Nightingale, let's start by having you explain the difference between decriminalization and legalization, because we've been hearing a lot about legalization at the state level. It has been discussed by legislators in Harrisburg, and if for no other reason, legislators there have been looking at legalizing marijuana strictly for medical purposes. But that's different than what the city council is talking about. So what is the difference between decriminalization and legalization?
Legalization is exactly what the term means. It is fully legal to possess cannabis. In states like Colorado, you can possess it, you can grow it, you can sell it. Decriminalization means that cannabis cannot be possessed legally, but that the fine or the offense for it is no longer a criminal offense. It does not subject you to potential incarceration. It does not subject you to a criminal conviction. But City Council did not permit the possession of cannabis within city limits. It merely said, cannabis is illegal. We are going to give our police an option to cite under a local ordinance so that people here in the city of Pittsburgh are not subject to, you know, some of the collateral consequences that people described yesterday or on Tuesday in City Council.
Right. Having this on your record, and as we heard in Liz's story, it can prevent someone from being able to get a job. So, among other things. So that's certainly a pretty important distinction there. So why should City Council do this? If somebody listening to this might say, you know, we're decriminalizing something that has been traditionally a controlled substance that some people feel is harmful, that some people think is a gateway drug, and that some people think leads to the commission of serious crimes. So what is the importance, in your opinion, Patrick, as an advocate of this, for City Council decriminalizing possession of small amounts of marijuana?
The quick and easy way to explain it is that we are already doing this anyway. Every single small amount case that comes through city court, every small amount case filed by a City of Pittsburgh police officer and university police, hospital police, whoever might be filing it, that charge is already being reduced to a summary offense at city court. The person is facing a maximum $300 fine, and the charge is being reduced. So the question that I posed to District Attorney Zappala and Chief McClay, if we are already doing this anyway, if we are already refusing to prosecute at the Court of Common Pleas level, if we are already in essence decriminalizing by reducing the charge to a disorderly conduct at the preliminary hearing level, then why are we requiring our police to file a criminal complaint against that individual? Why is that individual being forced to be fingerprinted? Why does that individual have to come to a preliminary hearing, a court proceeding, and possibly face expenses such as retaining a lawyer, such as myself? And then even after their charge is reduced, they still have a permanent record of having an arrest for a narcotics violation unless they take the proactive step of filing to have their record expunged. So the question is, why go through all of this? Why take our officers off the street? Why make people go through the criminal justice system? Why burden city court clerks with processing this paperwork? Why burden the Pennsylvania State Police with additional expungement petitions when a very simple and easy way to address this is to say, officer, in your discretion, if there are no other crimes being committed, issue a ticket to this individual and, you know, stay on the street, enforcing and protecting us from much more serious violations.
Something else that seems to be going on here, Patrick, is that it seems from what you're saying and from what we've heard from others is that police will enforce the law at their own discretion. So what you might have is rather than the rules being applied or the laws being applied the same ways to everyone, that some people are singled out for harsher treatment. If you are a minority, if you are maybe of a certain age, that you could be targeted more so than someone else.
Yeah, the possibility certainly exists. This is far from a perfect solution, and we are honestly counting on Chief McClay to make good on his word to develop a policy for his officers to follow. However, in discussing this with the chief, in discussing this with Zone 5 Commander Jason Lando, in discussing it with other zone commanders, the general sense is we have much better things for our officers to do than to take them off of the street and deal with filing charges for minor marijuana possession complaints. Now, obviously, we still have the situation where an officer in certain areas in our city that may have higher levels of crime or higher levels of 911 calls, maybe that officer is being more aggressive using marijuana as an investigatory tool. We cannot solve that with decriminalization. It was something that the Alliance for Police Accountability was very, very concerned about. They, representing their constituents, wanted to see more restrictions placed on the police in their ability to utilize an odor of marijuana for a traffic stop or for a search. But unfortunately, the reality is we cannot, via a municipal ordinance, tell our officers that they are not permitted to enforce state law or to exercise their rights and authority under state law. We do believe, however, that the police will work with us in good faith in this matter because we've already met with them and that's what they've told us.
Well, an opponent of this legislation, City Councilwoman Darlene Harris, says she's not in favor of the measure because, according to her, such a bill should come from the state. Should we wait until or unless Pennsylvania legalizes marijuana, even if it's only for medical purposes? Is the city council perhaps jumping the gun here?
No. My original thought when Philadelphia tried this legislation was that they did not have the legal authority to do it. However, the ACLU weighed in, and in reviewing both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh's home rule charters, what they said is this ordinance does not violate state law because it's consistent with state law. State law prohibits the possession of cannabis. This ordinance prohibits the possession of cannabis. So therefore, the ACLU offered its opinion that it believed that it would survive any legal challenge. The Philadelphia ordinance has not been challenged in court and has, in fact, resulted in an 80% reduction in arrests in Philadelphia. So I can say to Councilwoman Harris, I agree that I would like to see statewide action on this, but while Harrisburg continues to dither over even the most, you know, minor medical marijuana legislation, why should we wait?
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Patrick Nightingale. He's executive director of the Pittsburgh chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We'd like to hear from you at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Should city council give final approval to a bill that would decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana? What are your thoughts? 412-246-2002. Patrick, opponents of this say, among other things, decriminalization of marijuana only encourages drug use, and that there are those that believe that marijuana is a gateway drug, that it can lead to the use of harsher controlled substances. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I'm getting to the point where if I hear this gateway drug garbage one more time, I'm going to slap somebody. It is 100% a fabrication. It is not true. It has been debunked by subsequent studies that shows that correlation is absolutely not causation. The gateway drug theory merely in the early 1980s asked people who were hard drug users, what was the first illegal drug that they used? And often the answer was marijuana, not what was the first intoxicating substance that you used, because most addictions specialists would tell us that alcohol use at a very early age is a gateway to other drug use or other abuse issues. And right now in Pennsylvania, what do we have going on? Do we have an epidemic of people, you know, using and abusing marijuana and going to the hospital and overdosing and dying from it? Absolutely not. We have an epidemic of heroin overdoses sweeping throughout southwestern Pennsylvania and throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And what do we know is the number one cause of this increase in heroin abuse and use in the Commonwealth and across the country? The overprescription of opioids, the overprescription of OxyContin, of oxycodone, of fentanyl, of Vicodin, of Percocet. That is what's leading to the heroin epidemic we're dealing with right now. That is the true gateway. And the FDA just told us that, hey, we really don't care. We'll make OxyContin available to children so that we can get them started on their opioid addiction early. The one thing I would additionally note is that in states that have medicinal marijuana programs, their rate of prescription opioid overdose deaths has dropped by 25%. So what I would say to Councilwoman Harris is, in fact, your opposition to this, your belief that this is a gateway drug, is literally killing Pittsburghers.
If this legislation passes, would those who have gotten charged with possession in the past have their record expunged?
No, this would not be retroactive at all. And I believe, in my experience as a criminal defense prosecutor, that the district attorney's office would push back and say, wait a minute, we're not going to go back and reopen cases where there are convictions. But like I said, there is practically nobody in Allegheny County who has pled guilty to possessing a small amount of marijuana as the only charge on their complaint. So, you know, maybe someone pled guilty to a small amount of marijuana in connection with a DUI or with other more serious offenses, but there's nobody out there sitting on a small amount of marijuana probation thinking, damn it, I missed my opportunity to have this reduced to a civil offense. We just don't prosecute people at the court of common pleas level for minor marijuana possession cases.
So the people that we heard in testifying in city council chambers talking about how having this on their records is dramatically impacting their lives in a negative way, that this is not going to change anything for them, but it will change things going forward.
Correct. There's practically speaking, short of a governor's pardon, there's no way to go back and look at someone's criminal conviction from a few years ago or from a decade ago and to seek to have that conviction overturned because the reform discussion is advancing as much as it is. I personally would love to see this type of retroactive application of cannabis reform, but until we have true legalization, a decriminalization ordinance under no circumstances provides that type of legal avenue for relief.
Troy on Twitter says the state generates income through alcohol and lottery. Why not marijuana? Sell it, tax it, and regulate it. Time is right for it. And again, that's from Troy on Twitter. You can tweet us at ESSPGH. Let's go to the phones. We have Mark from East Liberty on the line. Hi, Mark. Go ahead with your question for Patrick Nightingale.
Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to ask a quick question about the penalty phase that the state imposes on the possession of marijuana now. I think the only question for me about the city usurping state authority is if the penalty is in.
Sounds like we might have lost Mark there. Mark, you still there? He raises a good question, Patrick. He says he's wondering about state authority versus city authority. So, you know, the city of Pittsburgh can decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana. But what about, you know, if let's say you're pulled over on the interstate by a state trooper within the city limits of Pittsburgh? Who would have the authority?
Yeah. This is, like I said, something that we have discussed and we've worked with the city of Pittsburgh police, because most criminal interactions or most criminal justice interactions are the city of Pittsburgh police. Any other law enforcement agency filing a small amount of marijuana charge in Allegheny County knows at the time that they're filing that charge that it will almost undoubtedly be reduced to a summary disorderly conduct. And that's because that is how the district attorney's office of Allegheny County has handled these cases ever since I was a young prosecutor in 1996. So the difference in that scenario, the state trooper may very well file a criminal summons to appear at city court for a small amount, and then that small amount would be reduced to a summary disorderly conduct. That trooper may be aware of this policy and may elect not to file that charge. But this policy that we're expecting to be put into place would only apply to City of Pittsburgh police officers because that is, you know, the number one or the primary source of criminal interactions here in the city. And as I said before, it is far from perfect. There are going to be some ambiguities from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, especially county to county. Go up to Butler County and you are facing prosecution for 1 gram of weed. Here in Allegheny County, we'll drop it to a summary disorderly conduct. Here in the city of Pittsburgh, we'll give you a $25 fine and not even make you come to court.
So you're saying you have confidence, because this sounds a little nebulous, to be honest with you, Patrick, but you're saying you have confidence that for the most part, this is going to work.
Yes, and the reason I say that is because we have seen it work in Philadelphia. They went from almost 3,800 arrests to fewer than 800 arrests since implementing this policy. And the reason that they have had that success is because they brought everyone together established a consensus between the DA, the police, city council, and the mayor's office. We took that playbook, that exact same playbook, and we met with council. We met with the DA, my former boss, in fact. We met with Chief McClay, and you know, we didn't meet directly with the mayor's office, but we understand the mayor supports this because his chief and city council supports this.
And he has said on the program that he does. Let me jump in. We have Yvonne on the line from The Hill. Yvonne, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you. I was calling because I said I agree that it should be a change. The main reason is why I know for a fact that they will, the police will stop the young black boys and also stop the young white boys, but cut their weed or throw it away, and only black boys, the majority, be in court. That's the main thing. One of the main things, if I could tell you something, tell you about when I went to Jamaica. When I went to Jamaica, they're allowed to have weed, but the police arrested a young boy. I think he was 18. He had a skiff. That would be the same thing as a joint here in the United States. He ended up dead, and they said that the ambassador was going to look into it. But do you understand what we're saying?
Well, it's a good...
Someone's dead for one joint. That's even in Jamaica, things like that happen.
Well, Yvonne, let me jump in. Let me jump in, because you make a good point, and this goes back to what we were saying earlier about how when you leave, when there isn't something that's written on the books and you're leaving it up to the discretion of the cops, that they aren't going to handle every case the same way, are they, Patrick?
Well, no. There, of course, is that possibility for lack of consistency with this. And we have been told, Chief McClay told us, that he would develop a policy that he would expect his officers to follow. Again, the zone commanders, from my interaction with them, support this. But it's not perfect. Will people potentially be treated disparately on the basis of skin color or neighborhood or economic resources? Of course, that potential continues to exist. But we believe this is at least a good first step to protecting all Pittsburghers. And the one thing that Yvonne spoke to is something that the ACLU most certainly found as well, is that here in Pittsburgh, despite similar use rates between whites and blacks, blacks face prosecution for small amount at a rate 5 times their white counterparts. I don't know an explanation for this, but clearly there is racial disparity that is going on in the way in which these complaints are being brought. So that if we see something similar to Philadelphia, a 70% reduction, an 80% reduction in criminal complaints charging small amount of marijuana, it will definitely benefit all Pittsburghers, including Pittsburghers of color.
Patrick Nightingale is executive director of the Pittsburgh chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Patrick, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on, and have a great day.
Coming up, how is the Every Child Succeeds Act different from No Child Left Behind? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.